Listen, the Sexy Athlete Bundle, available at mindpumpmedia.com. It combines MAPS aesthetic.
Tell me why I want this.
It's because these two programs melded together. We've actually taken these two, combined them, mixed this together, and made a very sexy mobile baby. That's what we've created. Ooh. So you get MAPS performance, you get MAPS aesthetic. We teach you how to use them both together. If you're more performance oriented, the mod in there teaches you how to incorporate some aesthetic components for MAPS aesthetic. Mm. If you're more aesthetic minded, then we teach you how to incorporate some of the MAPS performance aspects into MAPS aesthetic and give you some of that mobility. At the end of the day, you become a sexy athlete.
Don't just look better.
Well, I would say this is very similar to how I train. I think it's similar to how you train too, right? Where I've kind of a blend.
This is what I've done now.
Yeah, I think that's what inspired us to do this mod was so many people have been asking us, you know, how do you guys train currently right now? And, you know, we're always doing some sort of a modification to our MAPS programs and always playing and changing things. And I would have to say that this is probably how I consistently train is somewhat of a flexible.
This is the closest, I would say.
Yeah, MAPS and black blended together. And depending on how my body is right now, whether I'm feeling really tight or I'm feeling really strong or whatever, is which one am I focusing more on?
And the way you combine them, you just continue going through them and you cycle through the different phases and you combine the phases. You use mobility sessions and focus sessions together in harmony. Mm. This is, again, MAPS performance, MAPS aesthetic with a mod showing you how to blend them together, all combined at a massive discount. And it's available at mindpumpmedia.com.
Get it.
All right, let's give away some shirts, Doug.
Shirt, t-shirt time, Douglas.
T-shirt time.
Tizzle, shizzle.
All right, 10 reviews.
What the fuck?
I know. Really? Disappointing.
What's going on here?
I don't know.
Do people not like free stuff? How about this? You leave a good review, we'll sell you a t-shirt for $50. Maybe that'll work. Listen, you leave us a review, you'll probably, if it's a good one, you'll probably win a brand new Mind Pump t-shirt. And these are limited. They're limited. We're not going to make them forever. I promise you, they will not be made forever.
Well, who are we hooking up, Doug?
We have JCrod22, Rest Your Ankles, and Wicked One. All winners.
All you guys win.
Yes. Winner.
Send your name, the one I just read, to iTunes@mindpumpmedia.com, your shirt size, your mailing address, and we'll get that out to you.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
There's something to be said about the creativity sparking effects of altering your state of consciousness. Just changing your state of consciousness will have you looking at things a little bit differently. So what are they doing? Over here in Silicon Valley, you got all these executives. What do they do? Microdose mushrooms and LSD?
Yeah.
It's a thing, dude.
Lacking creativity.
I've heard you say that, but I actually don't. I don't know anybody personally. Yeah.
I asked the high level executive, and amongst them, they do these sort of like retreats every now and then.
Okay, yep.
And you're like, you do retreats, you know, in quotes, and they're in like a tent and a sweat lodge and all that. And I'm like, there's some drugs going on,
bro. Silicon Valley is driven by creativity. They're going to do everything they possibly can to get, you know, to that place.
Well, this nootropic, like, they love that. Anything that can affect the brain and give them, you know, some kind of, like, advantage.
Dude, like, probably half the people at Burning Man are probably from the Bay Area. That's
well, nootropics are, I mean, when would you say really started to get hot? I mean, for me, I didn't know much about it till the last probably 2 years, maybe 2-3 years tops. And I that's one of the reasons why I was so excited about Chimera. I just think it's brilliant for them to be combining that and then to go the all natural route, because when we mess around with the synthetic stuff, I wasn't a big fan.
The same.
You guys didn't like it, right? Because I had you guys try paracetam.
We tried it all.
You guys tried
Adam got headaches and diarrhea, right?
Yeah.
No, wait. They gave you diarrhea too, or just headaches?
Nah, just headaches.
I'm just messing.
I had some headaches from. I had some
anal
headaches
bleeding.
You know what it is? So what happens with the synthetic nootropic? This is why you got a headache. Is
tell me
it,
tell
this
me,
is why
tell me nerdy Sal why
this is
I
why.
Got a headache.
So a nootropic is like,
tell me nerdy Sal,
it's like nitrous, right? It's like boosting your brain's capabilities, but if your brain's capability isn't that much, it just overloads. It overloads it.
I see.
No, that's actually
why it's not working.
That's actually a common side effect with the synthetic nootropics is headaches. A lot of people who don't like them will get a headache. Luckily never get headaches from them, but when I've taken the synthetic stuff, you know, I like them, but then the effects start to wear off and I start to get negatives, where I don't get that with the alpha GPC, the, you know, the, you know, acetylcholine, you know the more natural nootropics. I don't get that build up, that's tolerance.
What, Chimera to me has been like, whoa, it's amazing. It's
wait, yeah. Hold on a second. Yeah.
Whoa. It's fucking,
somebody's gonna make a ringtone out of that.
Oh, please.
Please. Can you imagine that? Just go to,
please. Somebody,
it's
please.
Like, God damn it. Turn
take,
that off.
Take, dude, I'm gonna order our listeners right now. Somebody, one of you, please take a singing clip of Adam and make a ringtone.
Oh,
we will
God.
Make that shit
you know
go
what?
Viral.
I will use that.
You may get rich. I want 1%, by the way. I want 1% of that.
All right.
No, I love Chimera
iTunes,
coffee.
Number five.
Has, I was just talking to somebody the other day, and they told me, they're like, oh, yeah, I don't really drink coffee because of the crash afterwards. I'm like, dude, you have to try Chimera then. Because
yeah, but they have to drink it consistently. You tell people, like, drink it more than once because the effects get better. Right. After you drink it like 4 or 5 times.
I noticed it right away. I know you said that because you talked to somebody on our forum who didn't feel like this. You know, come on, you're not going to, it's coffee still. You're not going to all of a sudden feel this like, if you're trying to compare it to cocaine or steroids or something crazy that you've
taken.
Isn't
that annoying that you have to describe? Because like supplements, like this is all they do. They try and preach this immediate effect.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people feel like it's irrelevant unless they feel something immediately.
That's why pre-workouts are so popular. It's like, dude, it's just loaded full of stimulants, dude. All that shit that you're taking, there's nothing magical happening. Uh-huh. You're just sweating your dick
niacin
off because it's got
and everything else.
Yeah,
like
900 milligrams
skin
of
hot.
Niacin with fucking 900 milligrams of caffeine, you know, throwing and ephedra and all these other fucking extracts.
Yeah, I'll do jumping jacks because of that.
Yeah,
you know
for
what
sure.
They do? You know what they do? They're like, okay, let's take 400 milligrams of caffeine and put it in a very tasty powder.
Yeah.
And then like sprinkle a bunch of shit that we can put on the
I
label.
I feel like they just took Tang. You know what I mean? And just put some shit in it.
God damn it.
Right?
Why don't we doing
that?
Did.
What happened to Tang?
I don't know what happened to Tang.
Which kind of, wait, are you guys talking about the drink or the...
Tang.
I thought you were
talking about... Tang.
I thought you were talking
about Tang. Not Pootie Tang. Tang.
No.
Wait.
Tang, man.
Did you say Pootie Tang?
I did.
I thought it was Poontang.
Well, one was a movie and Poontang is another thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, whatever happened to Tang?
And is it still a company?
The astronauts ate it all.
It's like a sugary drink that's pertaining to be orange juice.
I feel like Doug should know this.
It could be... Kool-Aid?
Yeah, I never got into
What's
it.
What's the difference between Tang and Kool-Aid?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Well, one of them's orange.
Let me ask you this. Doug will know this. Doug, do you remember Ovaltine?
I'm finding out.
I recall
Ovaltine.
It, yeah.
Doug, do you remember Ovaltine?
Do you guys remember Ovaltine?
That's a dick call, right?
Do you guys remember Ovaltine?
Uh-huh.
It's like the original like supplement powder. You know,
powdered
give it to your kids.
Cocoa.
Ovaltine. It's got
chocolate milk.
It's got vitamins and minerals in it. It's fucking. It's like malt.
Tang
like
was used
malt.
Early NASA manned space flights in 1962, and John Glenn conducted eating experiments in orbit. Tang was selected for the menu. It was used during some
Tang did to Tang Tang.
Yeah. Oh, Tang Tang.
2013, Buzz Aldrin said Tang sucks.
Tang.
I don't know
Buzz
why
that, Aldrin said Tang sucks.
You know what? He's such a...
I want a t-shirt with that.
Buzz Aldrin is a fucking great asshole. Like, I mean in the greatest way. Like,
oh, yeah. He
I guess
tells it like it is.
He was approached by some fucking dude that's like... I don't remember. It's like it was either like the people who think the earth is still flat or someone who says that there's aliens on the moon or whatever, but he called Buzz Aldrin like a liar. Like, you've been lying. And then he fucking punched him.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that... No, it was because they thought that they filmed the whole
they
faked it. That's why he punched him. I remember that.
Speaking of which, they're on Facebook. Okay. I should find the name of this shit. My God, I was on this page
on Facebook. The Flat Earth community?
Did you guys see that?
No, but I've heard, like, this is the talk of the town. Like, all these
idiots. Oh, here we go.
It's the Earth emerging.
No, no, no.
Earth is flat again?
Yeah, this is becoming popular again.
It's the flat... Ready for this? Okay, because we're trying to grow our social media.
I knew it wasn't round.
We're trying to grow our social media. We're trying to get big, right? How about this? The Flat Earth Society. These are people who believe in... that the earth is flat.
Yeah, I'll believe in flat earth when I see flat titties.
All
right.
92,000 people.
Titties aren't flat.
92,000 people like this.
Sometimes.
And you read some of the shit and it's like these, and they create these like, they're trying to create like evidence why the earth is flat and why it's been this huge cover up this entire time. And
so
I'm like, don't you see the fucking moon?
So
that's round. What do you think this is?
So I know.
the photos that
Weird.
We have from space, those are all manipulated?
Bro,
it's photoshopped?
It's all fake. It's all...
Well, they don't believe in satellites,
that's
apparently.
That's what I mean.
They believe that like the like planes like fly and take images and then like come back down on
Bro,
land.
Bro, I'm telling you right now.
I have no
idea.
That's
fascinating.
I'm telling you right now. If you go on...
It's hard for me to boggle.
The Flat Earth Society.
Can we get a flat globe?
They do
a flat globe.
They do all these posts.
Can you do that? Is that possible?
Yeah. No, they think it's a pizza. That's right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like this flat pizza.
But they make like the case for it. Like they try to find evidence for it.
I feel like we could market and sell a lot of stuff to these people.
Yeah.
You know what? Whoa. It's true.
That's a good idea.
Because
instead of making fun of them, why don't we market and sell something to them?
Sell shit to them.
That's what, 92,000 people believe this?
Yeah. Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, and there was a post. I think that was the name of
what
it.
How does that quote go? Sometimes the majority isn't always right. Sometimes the majority just means all the fools are on the same side.
Oh, come on, man. At one point, a majority of people supported the crazy shit, slavery and all kinds of shit. Doesn't mean nothing. But anyway, Flat Earth Society. Hilarious.
I don't know how we went from Tang to that. I wanted to find more out about Tang, and you went to Flat Earth.
Astronauts, dude.
Supposedly, Tang is still being sold. I didn't think it was being sold. In 85, they introduced aspartame to it, and it's still going. And it has something to do with the creator of Jell-O and Pop Rocks and Cool Whip.
Yummy.
Yeah.
I haven't seen though Tang.
Did you guys ever drink Tang?
I did. Yeah, no,
you did?
I loved Tang as a kid.
Really?
I wasn't a Sunny Delight kid.
I was
kid,
more
that's
of
why.
A. Oh yeah.
That's yeah. You're either in Sunny Delight camp
or
Tang.
Sunny D camp. Oh, I'm sorry,
pussy.
Sunny D.
You like
the purple stuff.
We used to beat those kids up.
Sal was the purple stuff kid.
What did I drink? I didn't get any of that shit when I was a kid. My mom didn't buy that kind of stuff. Although my friends
were your parents really healthy about that? Were they good?
No, they're just Italian. There's food snobs. Most Italians are that's a sweeping generalization. But they're kind of like we're kind of like food snobs. Like we like good food, and that's just shit.
So
they gave me wine.
I'm interested.
I brought wine to work.
I'm interested in your guys' cupboards as a 7 to 12 year old. Go real quick.
Oh my god!
Just tell me your cupboard.
Here's the worst shit that I would get.
Chicken and a biscuit.
Seven.
We talked about that.
Yeah, and a biscuit or Cheez-Its.
That was there.
Like Cheez-Its were bad. That would be the worst.
Easy
thing.
Cheese. Remember that shit?
No,
cheese
never had
whiz.
That.
Like cheese you pour out of a can.
Yeah, Cheese Whiz.
What the hell's wrong with us?
That's fucking
that's gross.
That's so gross.
On chicken and a biscuit. On chicken and the biscuit.
Yeah,
crackers.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah.
That was a money sandwich.
That's fucking
you know
gross.
What we used to do? Take like Doritos and then like add a shit ton of cheese and make nachos out of already like nacho-fied Doritos.
Do you know what kids do now? Kids buy the fire Cheetos.
Good.
Kids buy the fire Cheetos now in the bag. They open the bag and then they pour fucking nacho cheese in the bag with the fire Cheetos and then they scoop it and eat it out like that.
Whoa.
And some even like add chili and do all kinds of crazy stuff. And they just eat it straight out of the back of that.
You just have cheese.
Like that processed
nacho cheese,
you know, Velveeta cheese, and then you dump a bunch of other shit in there, and then you eat it straight out of the bag like that.
Can you imagine the diarrhea?
Oh wow! You know, could you imagine you are just altering your gut flora,
bro? You're blowing fire out of your asshole.
Incinerating it.
Yeah, there's no way you could.
100%. It's why I have psoriasis, and it came out.
I know.
I was 25 years old.
It was bad. Everything was processed. Let's just say, and you know, it was just awful.
What about Hot Pockets?
Oh, yeah.
Literally.
Bagel Bites? Remember, you guys into that?
Yeah, no, I never did Bagel Bites, but bagel Hot Pockets, bites. I'd eat to like a million of them.
And,
because,
and the frozen burritos?
Well, and you know why? Because I started lifting weights at a young age, so I'd look at the nutrition facts and I'd be like, oh, 15 grams of protein?
These are healthy.
I'll eat three of these and have all the protein I need. And so I'd eat three frozen burritos in a row in between lunch and dinner.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Crazy.
Bagel Bites.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
Chimera Quaff! Today's Quaff is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quaff!
The eagle has landed!
Quee qua.
All right, our first question is from Kay Federale.
Hey.
How does cannabis affect your diet plan?
This is like Fat Albert right there.
I tried to do a more manly version of my voice, but it didn't come out right.
How does cannabis affect your diet plan, and how do you deal with the munchies?
Cannabis makes my diet plan awesome.
Cannabis
makes question.
Yeah, cannabis makes everything better. I think actually,
except it makes you eat orange Hostess cupcakes.
Well, so
apparently, otherwise nobody would eat that shit.
What?
I'm just saying.
All right, we're fucking around, but it's really a good question because
it is.
Different strains actually will promote this. So if I don't know where you get your cannabis from. But start paying attention to the strains that you smoke or however you're doing this. Pay attention to how you feel from it, because not all of them technically give you the munchies. Munchies, I find I get the munchies when I consume like a sativa. When I have a heavy indica, it doesn't make me feel that way. But that's me. So that's how my body is affected by it and different. And I know what strains will do that. So for me, paying attention to that and knowing when I can smoke certain strains. So, and for us, or I think I can speak for us, because Sal, I'm pretty sure, is the same way as I am, is we don't really smoke until the nighttime before I'm ready to go to bed. That's normally about the time that probably the earliest you'll ever catch me taking cannabis in is probably 6 or 7 o'clock at night, which means I got home early that day and I'm putting my feet up watching, you know, a movie or something. And then I might melt in the couch.
Well, when I smoke the one with angel dust laced on it, I like to have Pop-Tarts.
Stupid. Boom. Just so you know. Get out of here.
You know, here's the thing. here's the interesting thing. There's been some studies now published showing the relationship between cannabis use and obesity and insulin levels. And what they found is that regular cannabis consumers, and by the way, there's a few studies now that have shown this, have fasting insulin levels 16% lower than non-consumers. They have found that that they also had 17% lower insulin resistant levels and lower average waist circumferences. In fact, major pharmaceutical company or cannabis pharmaceutical company, GW Pharmaceutical, is actually studying cannabinoids for the treatment of pre-diabetes and diabetes, and mark my words, we will see a fat loss supplement or drug that uses cannabinoids, phytocannabinoids, the ones found in cannabis, to assist in the process. So cannabinoids affect many systems in the body, and the liver is one of them, and there is this relationship that we're not quite sure how it works, but it does demonstrate in studies that people are leaner when they use cannabis on a regular basis. Now, those of you listening right now, don't go grab joints and start smoking just because of that. There should be, I think you should use it for the right reasons, but I think that the science is going to start, you know, figuring out ways to use these cannabinoids to help people lose body fat. So the whole like smoking cannabis makes you fatter because you eat more type of deal, it doesn't add up at all. The studies actually show the opposite. Now, the other thing too is the more consistently you use cannabis or the longer you use cannabis, that the munchies kind of go away. Like I don't really get the munchies. I don't know about you guys, but I really don't get it.
Well,
so much
we
anymore.
Also don't. And, you know, I'm glad you put this up here because we were talking to our buddy Danny, who was just here, and you asked him, like, you know, what does everybody say about us? And a lot of his buddies and other trainers and the people that he works with listens to Mind Pump, you know, and we joke about drugs on here all the time. So do they all think we're a bunch of druggies, and do we do all this stuff? And he says, no. I don't think you guys come off that way. So I'm glad we're bringing this up so we can elaborate a little bit on that, like. None of us are smoking weed all day long, so it's like we're like, that's like a part of our routine. Like I get up and I wake and bake, and then I go to work and I do shit, and then I'm like worried about the munchies. Like none of us are smoking that much. I think somebody who's battling munchies from smoking weed sounds like you're smoking too much weed. And my recommendation would be, and I know a pothead's not going to like to hear that, but you know, pull back on it. If my weed consumption is affecting my goals, then it's getting in the way. And to me, it's something that it's not that important. You know, it's not that important for me to have it. I use it for relaxing, for creativity, for going to sleep. I have a handful of things. And then sometimes I want to be loose and laugh and have a good time in a movie. Sure, I'll fucking use it for that. But it's occasional. It's like anything else that we talk about. We recommend intermittently adding things like that into your lifestyle. If it's something that's into your routine so often that it's affecting your health goals, you know, to me that means it needs to take a seat. You know,
well, what they're finding, the science with cannabis and cannabinoids and the endocannabinoids, you know, that our body produces, and how phytocannabinoids interact with all those things, what they're finding is that cannabinoids are modulators in the body. They bring balance. And I know that sounds real hokey and, you know, new age, but the reality is if you are a cancer patient wasting away, cannabis will help you gain weight. If you're somebody that is really overweight, they're finding that cannabis use might help you with insulin levels and help your body balance itself out. It can help with a lot of different things, mainly because of the way it, you know, the receptors it attaches to and how those receptors are found throughout the whole body. But they've demonstrated now that cannabinoids communicate between synapses in the brain from the postsynapse to the presynapse. Most chemical signals go from pre to post synapse. That's why one's called presynapse and one called postsynapse. Cannabinoids do the opposite. They go from you know, bottom to top. In other words, it's feedback. It's a feedback mechanism helping modulate the presynapse and telling it what to send out more of and what to send out less of. So it's got this kind of balancing effect where if you have a weak immune system, like if you have HIV, it helps strengthen it. If you have autoimmune diseases, which is an overactive immune system, it helps depress it. There's a lot of interesting science coming out with cannabinoids. And the future, I predict, we are going to see some major breakthroughs in medicine because of cannabinoid science.
Oh, stop it.
Absolutely.
Stop it.
100%.
Major breakthroughs.
100%.
I disagree. I don't think we're going to see. I don't think we're going to see major breakthroughs.
I think.
Once the pharmaceutical 100%. Companies get a hold of it?
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure. No, I'll tell you why.
Okay, there'll be a lot more studies done.
Bro, have you seen the cancer effects of cannabinoids?
Of course, and we know it's neuroprotectant. We know all the science behind it. We know the benefits of it. But it's still, okay, if it's impeding in other things, if it's causing you to go eat a bag of fucking candy, then that's all moot. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it's got neuroprotectant. It doesn't matter that it has all these other benefits to it if it's causing other things in your lifestyle. Which is why I wanted to stop you there, because, yes, we're elaborating on all the science and all the positive things about cannabis, which we're all fans of.
Well, these are studies on, you got to understand, there's studies on cannabinoids and how they affect the body. What you're talking about is marijuana and THC in particular. Pharmaceutical companies are looking to use cannabinoids or design cannabinoids.
Well, that's also
have the positive effects that don't have the psychoactive.
I know what
effect.
You're saying. Yeah. The question was related to cannabis, and you took a right turn to CBD.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I took to other cannabinoids, but yeah, CBD being one of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's you took a right on there, and now we sound like a supplement company. Mm-hmm. You know, we sound like a supplement company who's promoting something because there is some science that's connected to the benefits of caffeine or benefits to niacin or benefits of something like that. Yes, you can extrapolate some of that stuff and show that the major breakthroughs, is it going to change people's lives? No. Are we going to find out that cannabis is the holy grail, that you start smoking it, now you're going to live forever, or you're never going to get cancer because you smoke? No, I don't think that. I think that more studies are going to come about, and I think more studies are going to show that, yes, it is a lot better than what we thought it was. Yes, it's stupid that it's been a Schedule I drug for as long as it's been. I think that will be the breakthrough. I don't think it's going to be this miraculous thing that now it's going to take over pre-workouts. It's going to be it's not going to be like that. I don't think that at all. I think that more people are just going to be accepted that it's not this poisonous bad thing that everybody thought it was.
Sure, I agree with that. But I'm talking about cannabinoid science, and I think we're going to see new drugs that are going to be used in conjunction with or replace of chemotherapy for some people. I think we're going to see less opiate use because there's going to be cannabinoids that are going to be
prescribed.
Well,
that's where I see the best, you know, in combat to a lot of the, you know, all the different like pain medications that are out there, especially like if we can get this alternative, you know, in replacement of that, it's going to do a lot.
The problem with that is this, is that, you know, even though you just can't compare. So, and that's a great one, is pain. And you can't compare four Norcos to a joint. And even though the marijuana is the better route for you as far as health and to give you relief from that, for sure, that the way the Norcos is going to make somebody feel, it's going to win. No matter how bad it is for us, it's unfortunate that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's our society. It's unfortunate.
It's a different feeling for sure. It's a different mechanism.
It is, and it's going back to what modern or Western medicine is all about, is addressing the pain, right, or whatever you got going on versus how it caused.
Finding the root.
Yeah. Besides, instead of finding the root cause, they're always going to compare that, you know, and that Western medicine kicks ass on that part.
Yeah.
But where it lacks is what's overall healthy. And I don't, you know, I know you're optimistic talking like that. And I think, and I'm with you and I agree with you. Like, I want to see all that stuff.
It's kind of like saying that functional medicine is going to take over Western medicine.
Exactly. And I don't
see it. It's never going to happen. Yeah, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's what we want to happen.
Yeah, well, okay.
Let
me make my case a little bit better. Okay. So the endocannabinoid system was not that long discovered, and we're now starting to learn more and more about it. It's an area of major research, an area that we didn't even know existed 30 or 40 years ago. It's a receptor on cells known as a G protein coupled receptor, which is a very, these are receptors they tend to target with medicine because it tells the cell what to do on the inside. And cannabinoid receptors are some of the most abundant throughout the body. Within that, just looking at that, most abundant, one of the most abundant receptors in the body, the receptor we like to target with medicine, it's basically not toxic to activate these receptors in most ways. There's going to be something they're going to find because it's a different way to treat. That's all I mean. It's a different pathway. There's something new. And whenever we find something new or a different pathway to treat things, we have new breakthroughs. And if we came out with a medicine that was able to reduce the amount of chemotherapy someone can use, mm-hmm. that would be a breakthrough. Oh. And the cancer science coming out with cannabinoids is freaking mind-blowing. Even the American government's own, you know, cancer.gov website now has a segment or a section that talks about how cannabinoids have been found in studies to kill cancer cells, and not only to kill cancer cells in vitro, but in vivo, in animals and in human studies. So it's, I think there's going to be some breakthroughs in it, and pharmaceutical companies are starting to invest money in it. And you know where the money goes, you tend to see some shit happen.
Well, it'll be interesting. Major is a strong word. Do I think we'll continue to have breakthroughs? Absolutely. Am I a fan? Absolutely. But not at the expense of what it could be causing. If you start to promote something and you say like that too much, then everybody, what do we always do? What do we do as Americans when something good happens?
Overdo the shit.
Everything, right? It doesn't fucking matter.
The most condensed version ever.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if it's fitness, if it's cardio, if it's weight training, if it's a supplement, if it's a macronutrient. We find out new breakthroughs. If breakthroughs come out that protein is the holy grail for building muscle, what do? We start, before you know it, we're taking 3 grams of protein per pound of body weight. If we find out that fat's the holy grail, then what do we start doing? We're taking fucking ungodly amounts of fat. That's just how we are as a fucking nation. And I don't want to be somebody I don't want us to represent, just because we're pro cannabis, that we come out and say a bunch of statements like that, and then all of a sudden, what does everybody do? Come a bunch of fucking potheads, and they're sitting around.
No, it'll be a tool. You know, it'll be something that will be helpful in the right circumstance. Yeah. You know, and it's not going to be the holy grail, and I think that's the point you're trying to make.
Of course.
And that's, you know, that's important
to
make.
No, it's a very, very responsible thing to say.
So, anyway.
Which is weird that Adam said it.
Yeah. Come on, man.
What the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Next up. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Ricky Rondo Neff. Why do you never talk about front raises for shoulders?
What are front raises?
What is that anyway?
What is a front raise? It's not a side lateral raise.
front lateral laterals.
It's a lateral raise to the front.
There you go.
Why don't we ever talk about front raises for the shoulders?
It's not that we don't. It's not that we avoid it. It's just that presses are superior.
Not a sexy topic.
You can do
presses are superior.
Yeah, well, not only the superior, but I mean, you can do front raises if you really want to target the front delts. You really want to add volume to them. You want to.
Well, we're still talking about aesthetics.
Yeah,
you know,
but
I mean, like, let's talk about spiral movements.
But like every,
how often are you doing that?
It's true. Like every press you do, like is a front delt exercise, right? A bench press, an incline press, an overhead press. You're getting heavy front delt work every time you do a press, and if your shoulder workout should be based in presses, that should be the priority of your shoulder.
We don't talk
workout.
A lot about any long lever exercises. Think about that.
Not a lot.
Because they're weaker.
Right.
The further the weight gets away from your body, the more challenging it is for you to move weight. The more challenging it is for you to move weight, the harder it is going to be to build strength and build muscle in that. So, you know, a front raise, can you do them? Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you can do them.
Yeah, why not? But if you're doing them and you're not pressing, you're missing out.
Yeah.
You're missing out on
It's like doing leg extensions without squatting.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is. It's another long lever, right? You're doing a long lever exercise that's far from the body.
It's the isolating mentality in general. It kind of feeds into that of like isolating. I'm trying to get this very specific part of my muscle and like just this one little range of motion, whereas I'm not really getting the full impact of doing what, you know, a shoulder press will provide.
You want to know when I do front raises? Trigger days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Trigger days and focus days. If I ever do a front raise at all, it's going to be on a trigger day. I'm just trying to get a pump. You know, I'm not trying to fucking smash my central nervous system. I'm not trying to press super weight. I'm going to get a pump on my delts. I'm going to do some front and side raises and get a nice pump and call it a day with my triggers.
Well, I'll tell you what. Number one, from an aesthetic standpoint, it's rare that I see someone and I think to myself, they have underdeveloped front delts compared to the rest of their body. It's very rare. Like bodybuilders even, or, you know, amateur bodybuilders, it's usually the posterior deltoid or even the side deltoid. But the front deltoid, very rare where you'll see that be underdeveloped because it's so heavily, you know, used with presses. Right. Number two, if you're going to do a front raise and you want to really make it a functional exercise, one of the best things you could do is lay on a high incline bench where you're laying down on your chest and do a front raise to where you bring the bar all the way up to your head, or dumbbells up to your head. So you get that scapular retraction, you get that stability at the top. That's where I see a lot of benefit from doing a front raise. But the standard stand up tall front raise, not quite as much. I mean, can you guys picture what I'm talking about?
Well, no, let's elaborate. Because I do like a more of a scaption. So
Doug, can
a little bit of a rotation.
Doug, can you write that down for us to do that as a YouTube today? Because this is a great point. Let's talk about front raises.
Like the best way to do a front raise.
Well, yeah, best way to do a front raise, why we don't do a front raise. So what Sal's explaining, and we talked about this before on Mind Pump TV, is majority of people have somewhat of upper cross syndrome, and most people have excessively. Mm-hmm. So they're already rounded and they're already forward. They're already pushing a lot with their deltoids. Doing a front raise is only going to make that worse.
It contributes to the problem there.
Yes, it contributes to a problem that's already there. It's very difficult to do a front raise. So if you can picture the dumbbell all the way out in front of you to where it's perpendicular or parallel to the floor now, and it's out like eye level, you know, imagine your posture at that moment, what's going on.
Yeah.
You're already probably forward, and then that direct stress is normally on that low back, and you're trying to counter by arching.
Yeah.
So it's just not a very ideal move to teach people. Can you do it? Yes. Do I think there's at least five or more exercises superior to it? Absolutely.
Well, that's why we started with showing like rear delt and like these other like the shoulder retracting type exercises, because it is like an epidemic, this upper cross syndrome and this forward position and protraction of the shoulder. So, you know, we want to address the body as a, you know, optimal posture first. So we want to place ourselves in proper position, and then we can start tweaking around with like the development of what we want to get out of the shoulders from there.
It's an excellent question. I'm glad. I don't know who picked this. It was Sal.
I picked all of them.
Yeah, this was a good question, because we get in this debate a little bit, and this is where, you know, there's some professionals on Instagram. Like I've mentioned the hypertrophy coach before. I think his Instagram's pretty solid. He does a lot of really good movements. He's definitely a biomechanic specialist. Muscle PhD guy, another guy that does posts like this. Now, the difference between those guys and us, I would say, is this, is because I don't have anything to disagree with them, is what they're teaching is, I've taught thousands and thousands of clients, and the moves that we teach people and we tell people, we're trying to think of a majority of the population. So I'm already envisioning the people that are listening or watching this podcast or watching our YouTube channel, and what are a majority of them probably suffering from or dealing with, and how can I best help them? Teaching them some isolated movement that's super tricky and cool to target a very small muscle that has a very small responsibility in the body. To me, it may be sexy for Instagram, but it's not what's going to benefit that person. So we try and help people with the big things that are going to help them. And then we would get to something like that. I could teach somebody a front raise, and we have before. It's just, when you talk about the things that are really going to benefit somebody, it's not up there, you know?
No. Do your presses.
Next question is from 00 Silk Drop.
Oh, she's on our forum.
Are there really flexible body types and strong body types?
Oh, that's...
Yeah, so there's more to the question, you know, like people who just naturally are just super flexible but have a tough time getting strong. And people who are really strong naturally or get strong easily naturally but have a tough time getting flexible. And the answer to this question is yes, absolutely.
Do you think it's a
inverse relationship?
Yeah,
I do. I'll tell you why. Like,
yeah, let's hear this. I'm interested to hear your theory.
So I'm going to give you a couple. Let me ask you guys a question as trainers. You guys have trained people for a long time. You ever get those clients that are super hyper flexible and can move in any direction, and you get them to hold a dumbbell above their head or do an exercise, and it's like
Gumby out a little bit?
There's no stability.
Yeah, they got nothing.
There's no stability. And then there's that one older guy that is just fucking solid as shit, but he's as tight as a 2x4.
You can't even push his leg back.
But he's strong. But he's got tension and strength, right?
Right.
I think it's a central nervous system thing. I 100%.
And I think you're right.
More and more science is demonstrating that flexibility and strength have much more to do with the central nervous system than they do with the muscles, because central nervous system that's kind of lax is going to allow muscles to stretch and be manipulated. And one that's kind of active all the time mm-hmm. is going to maybe make you a little tight. And in fact, there's some studies that have shown that sprinters who were a little tight were faster than sprinters who were much looser. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't get more flexible and work on your flexibility. It just means that there's that relationship that's going on. And I'll give you another example. If you want to look at – you want to take a population of people whose central nervous systems are developing, who aren't firing with good tension properly, and as a result, they're very flexible and movable. Look at babies and toddlers. Mm-hmm. You know, babies and toddlers' central nervous systems
they're
are
still teaching their central nervous system.
Yeah, and they can – I mean, they'll grow up to be tight-ass adults, but as babies, they'll put their foot in their mouth and do all kinds of weird shit because their bodies are really – malleable because that CNS hasn't really developed that tension.
And they're developing all these governings that they're putting in place as far as like, if I'm going to be in this position, I'm going to need to have this reserve here to be able to support me and then press me back into this position. So yeah, I could see that from, so how much of that do you think is a genetic predisposition or is it something learned
both.
As you go along?
Both.
Nurture nature, huh? I don't know, man. I would argue more nurture than nature because I think we all are pretty hypermobile when we're born, right? Mm-hmm. Very few people, I don't know any babies that don't have that crazy flexibility like that. So we all of
we're going out stretching babies. Let me see your baby. Oh, yeah, that's good flexibility. Oh, yeah.
So we all at one point were there.
Splits.
So I think it's more of over time, the neurological patterns that we've created and it's just gotten worse over time. And think when you talk about the extremes of both those people, either you're either super hypermobile or you're super, super strong. Because those people are extremes of their category, one's going to give, right? So if you're...
But a lot of times you could see the parent, you know, you could see a lot of the same traits with the kid, like growing up. But then again, it could be just the patterns that they model to them and the lifestyle that they're right? around.
That's
so,
what I'm saying. Like, yeah. That's, I think
there's got to be... there's a strong genetic
there's both,
component
right?
to it. Yeah, there is because I've
met... Then you look at someone like Juju, which to me, that's a genetic anomaly, right? Yeah. You look at someone like Juju who is...
trained
250 pounds of muscle and hypermobile. Yeah,
here's the thing, like so we've all heard the anecdote, you know, oh, if you lift weights you get tight. I think there's some small truth to that because as I'm strengthening my central nervous system to fire harder and get more tension, I may also strengthen its governing signal for lengthening that muscle. Mm-hmm. And so this is why it's important when you lift weights with full ranges of motion. You aim for fuller ranges of motion so you get stronger within these new ranges of motion.
Right.
Otherwise, you may in fact get tight. In fact,
you're predetermining your ranges.
Yes, and I've trained athletes that were highly flexible, gymnasts or whatever, who stopped stretching while we were lifting weights or continued stretching but not as much, and they all get tighter. Part of it's because they didn't stretch as much. But a lot of it's because they lifted weights and they didn't lift within those ranges of motion that they normally work in. Mm-hmm. And so they lost some of that flexibility because the CNS started to fire a little harder. Look, you could give someone a muscle relaxer and they're instantly more flexible. Muscles did not get longer in the 30 minutes it takes for the muscle relaxer to hit you.
Well, it's important. The body does this, though. It protects you, right? Like if you're not supported, if you haven't done that range of motion and then all of a sudden you're putting load on it immediately, like your body needs to tense up to support itself and support the joint. And so like that is why like range of motion, like we're always stressing that so much because your abilities are going to increase.
Yeah, we always think of stretching as making, like we think of muscles like rubber bands. And if you just stretch it and warm it up, it gets looser and looser. And that's mostly untrue. It's really the CNS. It's your mm-hmm. central nervous system that starts to relax. Because I could take anybody. I don't care how tight you are. You can be the tightest fucking person there in the world. And I can stretch you for an hour and I will achieve a greater level of flexibility within that hour with you. I didn't lengthen your muscle in that hour. All I did was get your CNS to kind of calm down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And there's techniques that help you do that. And you know, but it really has to do with that. And so I think some people just have these really lax CNS. And it's funny because you'll get, I'm sure you guys have gotten these clients that are super loosey-goosey. And to get them to like fire hard with like a heavy deadlift is so fucking hard
to
teach them. Like they can't summon the instant strength.
No. And that, that's a whole way to train. That. And that's why this is so enlightening, because like if you think about yoga, like it's the practice of really trying to calm down and like, you know, like yes. slow your heart rate down and
thank you
and relax. And like that's a huge component, because you need to calm that system down that everything's going to be okay.
Damn, that's a great
point.
In
this range of motion.
That's a great point, because you think of yoga and the mood that they try to put you in to get you better at yoga is relax, breathe, meditate. When you're lifting weights,
it's the opposite.
If you want loud music, rock and roll, pissed off, slap me
tight,
in the face,
tight.
Go lift. I'm trying to get my CNS to fire hard, whereas the other one, I'm trying to get my CNS to relax.
So, Doug, write this down. Also, another thing that I want to do on Mind Pump TV. This reminds me, I was just explaining to a couple ladies that I was explaining to them that they had more range of motion and flexibility than they think. It's more of a neurological disconnect. And I have a little test where I lay them on their backs, and then I have them take their knees up into their all the way up as high as they possibly can towards their shoulders.
And then you pick their feet over your shoulders and wheelbarrow.
Yeah, totally. So it's a great way to show people that they actually have the flexibility and joint mobility to get into a very deep squat. They just don't have the neurological connection anymore. So I'll show you, and it also is a great way to show people what their squat stance should look like. So this could be a double whammy to help people. So write that down. I'll make sure we'll go over that in Mind Pump TV.
Whammy, whammy. I've got it. All right. Thomas Poucher is asking, what's the one thing you guys don't agree on besides cannabis and its future?
I know.
Yeah, we've already.
I feel like we always disagree on stuff right now.
You know what? Here's the thing. So we agree a lot of the time, obviously, on things. But here's why. And this is going to sound real. I'm going to sound like a dick. You know,
I can't wait.
At the end of the day, when you're looking for the answer to things, eventually the goal is to reach something that is closer and closer to the truth. Mm-hmm. And if you have three people who are researching trying to find the solution to the equation 1 + 1, they will all, if they all eventually find the truth, they'll all come up with the same answer. Doesn't necessarily mean, it's not because they agree with each other. It's because the answer is 2.
They might have a different method or process or whatever, but they're all trying to achieve that number.
Right. And at the end of the day, the answer is 2. And so a lot of times we agree with things because we've all reached the same conclusion through our experience and through our education that there are certain truths when it comes to fitness and nutrition. So for the most part, I'd say we agree. I mean, we disagree on minor things, I guess.
Even when we disagree, like there's a lot of times where there's stuff that we disagree on and maybe it doesn't even get to air or not. But, you know, let's say I disagree with Sal on something. It's not because like I'm stuck on disagreeing with him. It's at that moment. And then when he presents his argument, a lot of times I'll be like, fuck, bro.
I hadn't considered it from that angle.
Yeah, I've never thought of it. And vice versa, right?
Perfect example of that I think is when Adam was talking about really like fine tuning and tracking everything to its meticulous degree and how important that is. And, you know, and me just listening and even Sal interjecting how we kind of do it more intuitively is great, but that's at a different level. Like, so if you start out, like it is so important and that was such a good point to you do have to focus on that. You have to be educated in the process from the very beginning. So it's like just considering these things from, you know, somebody from a different level or, you know, just from a different perspective is important.
Yeah. I'll say, you know, I have a couple examples I'll use for myself first, a couple examples of where I disagreed. Not like a big disagreement, but I kind of had different ideas. And then I was influenced to kind of move in that direction. Now we agree. One of them is on mobility type training and how to inject it into routines. And the disagreement was that I felt like I would have to trade and be okay with, which is fine, trading muscle size, strength, and aesthetics for increased mobility when in training for mobility. Mm-hmm. And Justin was like the mobility king and he was always hammering at home. And in my mind, I was always like, yeah, I need to work on that. It's good for me, but I know when I do, I'm going to lose some of my gains and I'm going to have to deal with that, and that's fine. And then watching Adam go through it and noticing that not only did he not lose gains, he actually gained gains in performance. It really took me to the level of really agreeing with Justin and Adam both on that level, like, okay, increasing my mobility and adding mobility work, not only did it not take away from my size and strength and my max lift, it contributed to them right away. It wasn't something I had to, you know, I had to consider and think to myself, like, okay, I'm going to get a little stronger again later on, but for now I'm just working on... No, it worked right away. So that was, that's one thing that I could see. And then on the flip side, you know, when we all met and we started Mind Pump, and I would talk about things like food intolerances and gluten and gut health, mm-hmm. It was relatively foreign to both of you, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there was a little bit of disagreement. It was almost like, well, that's not as important as like calories. And then little by little, watching you guys start to piece those things together and start to do them. And it wasn't necessarily that you disagreed. It was just something you hadn't really considered the same way.
Yeah.
And then seeing your experience, like Justin talking about how all of a sudden his acid reflux, now he figured out how
exactly
to control it without drugs, and you know, and Adam with his psoriasis, and well, these things really influence my skin, and I didn't even consider that. And so I think at the end of the day, you know, especially if you're open-minded and you try as hard as possible to be objective, you're going to disagree with people. But if you keep an open mind and kind of always try to move towards the truth and be open to being wrong, that's a big one, right? I'm going to be open to being wrong. Mm-hmm. Then the truth is the same regardless of, you know, who you are. You're going to come to the same conclusion.
Zach Bitter just said it right. We just did an episode recently with Zach Bitter, the ultra marathon runner. And I thought he said it really well when he talked about just a lot of people just are unaware that they're unaware right now, you know, and we're the same. I mean,
yeah.
I remember when Sal first went ketogenic, and, you know, want to talk about something, I was like, fuck that, dude. I mean, I eat 400 to 600 grams of carbs. Why the hell would I want to go the other way? That doesn't sound appealing at all. Even if you can sit here and rattle off all the science that's coming out right now to support healthy fats. And I was like, it didn't matter to me because I enjoyed the way I ate. I've already proven I can get on stage and be 2% body fat and look awesome eating tons of carbohydrates. So why would I even consider that? But then when I made the switch, I said, well, you know what? And I remember listening to that episode and listening to myself talk, and, you know, what an asshole, right? And I'm like, this, here we preach all about being open-minded and stuff. So, you know, that's, I'm right away challenged myself in that area. So I said, okay, I'm going to go this direction. And it completely opened my eyes, and it changed my relationship with food. And that's, I mean, here I am, 35 years old, been a trainer for a long time, already proven that I can compete at the highest level eating a certain way. So I wasn't even unaware that I could be doing it even better than I already was. So, mm-hmm. you know, you could say that was something that I disagreed with him at first, but then once it, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of, I think any of our disagreement back and forth is never like a stance where Sal or Justin are in one camp about something and I'm in another camp. I mean, it's obvious Justin cares more about sports performance and that he appeals to that more. And mm-hmm. Sal is all about kind of biohacking and into the newest and latest, like better ways of doing things. And I'm most certainly the aesthetic guy like that. So we all have our little camps of things that are more of a priority, but that doesn't mean that I think my way is better than either one of their ways or vice versa. So I think,
Being able to argue your point well and, like, you know, like make it, if it makes sense, like just knowing that, you know, like I'm open to that, like I'm open to information, and I have to remain that way for me to improve. So
I think it's important too that people know that a lot of times they hear the banter back and forth with Sal. A lot of times I challenge him not because I disagree with him. I challenge him because I try and put myself in a position of, what do I think people are thinking when he says that?
Right.
Like, we just did that just right now with the cannabis thing. And he laughed and he made fun of me afterwards. Like, you know, here Adam is being all, and he's right, because I would be the first one to be all pro marijuana. But because he took that stance, I chose to take the other stance to help everybody else who's listening. It's not a matter of I disagree with what he's having to say. It's that I know some motherfucker that's listening right now is tuning him out because they already have their biased views. I want to represent that biased view so they can hear him explain himself in depth even more, and then we can educate more people that way.
That's just good radio. Could you imagine if the world operated on the, you know, on that basis of I'm open to being wrong. You know, the whole, like, I'm going to seek to understand before I seek to be understood. You know, you guys have heard that quote before.
Yeah,
the progress in the world would be incredible. I mean, right now we're in the midst of this election season, and elections always polarize the shit out of people, and they're designed to do that. That's what they do. That's the whole purpose of the $5 billion they're going to spend on this presidential election, is to polarize people so that you vote for one guy or the other, not because you like them, but because you hate the other guy more. But imagine if everybody for a second said, I'm going to seek to understand versus trying to get everybody to understand me. I'm going to be open to being wrong. Imagine how much progress we would make, and how much more power we would give ourselves versus to these people who, you know, influence us in ways that we all know is wrong. Everybody would admit, it's funny, you talk to anybody and you ask them, do they trust, you know, mega corporations and politicians, and they'll all say no, and yet they allow themselves to be super influenced and they don't listen to other points of view. And I think that's a horrible thing. Always be open to listening. Always be open to being wrong. I swear to God, you know, you're many times you won't be wrong. Many times all you're going to do is strengthen your position. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, somebody blows your mind. Yeah. And that is such a great feeling.
You know, it's awesome. I have to say this because this just happened to us. We did a seminar and this is, I get annoyed when this gets asked. It's been asked several times before. Why do you guys not have a female host on your show? And
can I just tell you, I get so many emails that say that.
Do you really?
Yeah. And what annoys me about it is Sal and Justin's sex has nothing to do with why they're co-hosts or
we're already sexy.
what has made the dynamic so special is that I've never met two other humans. Okay. Actually three, if you include Doug, because Doug's like this also, who seek out to prove their message wrong. Like I'm looking for the opposite side. If I have a stance, for example, like if I was, you know, we bring it to religion, right? If I was a Christian, I'm reading Mormonism. I'm reading all the other religions. I want to learn about everything else. I don't want to get so indoctrined by one way of thinking that I have tunnel vision. And like these men are the same way too. Like we may talk about a certain way of training and programming or nutrition, but we're at the same time that we're talking about it, we're reading all the stuff that opposes what we're talking about.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with being a man or woman. If there was a young lady that did that, I mean, it'd be awesome.
Yeah,
to
have exactly. Show it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. None of that matters. And at the end of the day, you know, it's not about your sex or your race or religion. At the end of the day, we're all individuals. We're all individuals. And if we respect individuals and what they, you know, their rights and their, what they bring to the table, then we'll end up respecting all minority groups, mm-hmm. whether it be man, woman, black, white, you know, whatever. And at the end of the day, you know, it's about the individual sitting in this room. And if you guys were all chicks, that'd be awesome. Well, I would love that, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, people have different perspectives. And, you know, I get it. Like a lot of females too, they want to have like kind of put themselves into the conversation as like, you know, like represent like where they're coming from. And, you know, like that's why we're going to have guests and that's why we talk to unique people. And that's why we pull people into the conversation. But as far as like the core of what we're trying to do and like the message and everything, like we just try and be,
well, I just
talk about what it is.
I know it's a little detour. We always kind of do that, but I'm listening to both you talk. I continue to fall in love with you. You know, we've been together now for a couple of years and you know, there's just not a lot of humans. There's not a lot of humans like that. And I've had, you know, we've had thousands of clients that we've trained. Well, fuck, I've had thousands of trainers that have worked for me, you know, at least 1,000 that have worked for me over my 10 plus year career as in leadership. So, and they were all male, female, all the above. Right. So, you know, it's not anything to do with their sex. It's that when you listen to them talk about what they're sharing right now, that is unique to find, especially in the fitness world. People in the fitness world, they want to find, they're the like notorious for.
Oh, they get into their thing.
Into their camp, whether it be CrossFit or
kettlebells or bodybuilding.
Yes, whatever camp, even like, you know, yeah, exactly. It can be one of those things. And then they stick in it. And I hate that. I mean, people want to do it to me all the time because I got into competing. Like I'm categorized as the bodybuilder out of us or the men's physique guy out of us. No, I'm not. I'm really not. I did that. I chose to do that. There's things I love about it, but I'm not in this camp of it. And I'm not like team men's physique guys. And I'm all about that. Like, no, not at all. And that's what's so unique about it. It's hard to find humans like that. So, I mean, if they were women, it would probably be better. I'd much rather be looking at two good looking girls that are talking to me right now. But unfortunately, I got stuck with these two ugly guys. So, you know, that is the reason why,
you
though.
You just gave us a shit sandwich, Sal.
It is a main reason why we're together, though. It has nothing to do with that at all. It's that ability to be humble like that, to continue to seek knowledge. Even when you're full of knowledge already, you're still looking at things that are going to challenge the things that you're promoting and saying versus everybody else wants to take this stance. They learn a little bit. They get a little bit of schooling. They get a little bit of education. And then all they do is they continue to go deeper into their realm so they can defend and argue. Mm-hmm. So someone could say like, oh, you're into that. Well, and then they go back and forth and they have this versus mm-hmm. We're always trying to expand and learn more and challenge our way of thinking.
I mean, doing that is one of the reasons why I have vegan days or I have low protein days. It's the whole reason why I ever even embarked on learning about fasting or any of these mm-hmm. types of things. These were all counter to everything I had ever learned. And had I not been able to be open to being proven wrong, I'd still be, you know, eating six times a day, feeling shitty and having horrible side effects and not getting very much progress and being not as good of a trainer. I would have been stuck in that realm. I think at the end of the day, you have to you're either going to believe one of two things. You're either A, going to believe that people are inherently good. Most people are inherently good, okay? Or you're going to believe that most people are inherently bad. Now, I believe most people are inherently good. And my evidence is society, okay? Society wouldn't work if most people were bad. Bottom line, I don't give a shit what government or whatever you put in place. If people were bad, shit wouldn't work. So there's your evidence right there. Now, knowing that people are inherently good, I know that when they are preaching something or promoting something, for the most part, most people just they truly believe in what they're saying. So I'm not going to look at that person like they're an asshole. I'm just going to look at them and say, okay, that's what they believe. Let me see if I can understand the way they do. Let mm-hmm. me see if I can understand why they're so passionate about their belief. Many times I come out of it and say, okay, they're wrong. I think that they're delusional because they're not open to these other things. I think they've been indoctrinated. But every once in a while, I go in and I open my eyes and I come out and I go, holy shit.
There's something there.
There was something there. They were right. And you know what? It changes me. Yeah. And I love that shit. It's great because I'm better.
You grow.
I'm better at the end of the day. Yeah. So listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, Justin at Mind Pump Justin. And don't forget to check out mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.